a singular, most critical issue that keeps us from saying what's there, from prophesying, is that we judge what we're going to say as whether it has value or not. And so we, and that's, to me, in my understanding of the scriptures, it is the most critical issue that keeps the faith of God, the gift of faith, living by the faith of God instead of faith in, from being manifest. And the reason is because we have things that come forth in us that we cannot possibly think that they should be spoken. And so we stop it. And it happens over and over and over again. And the reason it happens over so often is that from our earliest childhood, from our first place of self-awareness, we are taught to stop it. If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. So niceness becomes the basis upon which a society is structured. And in every society, it's the same. Probably in Judeo-Christian societies, it's even more so. Because we can't say what's there. Because what's there, many times, isn't nice. And this, believe it or not, this was a huge deal for me also. I had the unfortunate position of 17 days after I became a believer, I was hosting talk shows. And, you know, I said a lot of things that offended everybody, but it was just a small percentage. I stuffed most of it. And then, I don't know what happened. Something snapped in me where I was able to see that in order for my repentance to be complete, I had to continually say whatever was there. And many of you have suffered because of that. And I've made innumerable enemies because of that, because I'm a bad man. I'm a bad guy because I say these things to embarrass people. No. But the relationship between exercising and living by the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of faith, and the relationship of being nice are counterproductive. They cannot exist together. You cannot exercise the gift of faith and have a concern as to whether or not you're being nice. And so the gift of faith comes against every single thing that you have been taught about how to be a person and live in a society. And Jesus, fortunately, spoke directly to this in Mark chapter 7. And it's, I want you to go there. Anybody have a response to what I've said thus far?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, where did
you go?
Oh, where are you going, Mark 7?
Yeah.
Yeah, I grew up that way.
Well, all of us did.
Yeah, it was encouraged.
The famous, you know, the way it's easily manifested is, I remember this distinctly, but I'm sure that happened many times, but this one I remember. I went to my cousin's birthday party, when I was real little. And he was a couple years older than I was, and I didn't like him very much. In fact, he was the cousin that I went to his funeral a few years ago. And my mother, when we were leaving, said to thank his mother and tell him what a wonderful time he'd had. And I wouldn't do it, because I didn't have a wonderful time. I thought it was stupid and I was bored. And so I said so. And I got in more trouble than I could ever believe. And, you know, from then on, I thought better of saying what I felt, and I began to play the game. Anybody else have that experience? Anybody didn't have that experience?
I think I was at that party.
And as a sperm cell, maybe. But since we've been in existence, I mean, there's a cliche about me: you don't invite Ole to a party, right?
Because that's the way you think about all parties. It's boring, and
it's boring and stupid.
That's what I think about small talk. How are you, Ole? How are you doing today? How was your day today?
You noticed that I don't ask you that.
It's taken you a few years to not ask me that anymore, though.
I never did ask you
that. Yeah, well, yes, you did.
When
you first got here.
Some people ask you that just to see your reaction.
I know.
Forgive me, I apologize.
And verse 14. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, "Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand." Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. This is one of the least studied scriptures in the New Testament. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said unto them, "Are you so without understanding also?" And I mean, this is emphatic in the Greek. He couldn't believe it. Are you so without understanding? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, which goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murderers, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." Now, can you understand why Jesus nor any of the disciples that came not against any external thing except the hypocrisy of the people that were religious leaders? There was more pornography in the Roman Empire, living pornography, than they ever dreamed of being here. There was more abortions, and worse than abortions, there were little babies left by the side of the road to die. Yet not one of the disciples, not Christ, came against any of these things. He never came against the Roman government. He only came against the hypocrisy of the rulers of Israel, which wasn't political, it was their theocracy. There is nothing from without a man that defileth him. Now why would then, if he says this, then why would you constantly exhort to abandon yourself, to say what's there, to prophesy? The only and singular reason is that's the only way that the faith of God instead of the faith in God can be manifested, because it continually causes repentance to go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. The critical issue here, remember, is that Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. Now, the word deny there doesn't mean the same, it's not the same word that's where it says deny yourself and pick up your cross. This is the word that means build a dam. Now, all of you have dams built so that you protect yourself, you shield yourself from the thoughts that are within you. And so somehow you believe that by not saying what's in you, you are progressing. Well, in fact, by not saying what's there, you are going, sliding down that slippery slope into finally believing that you have some righteousness, because you haven't said it. Does anybody understand me?
Yes. I have a question here. 18, what does the without?
Without understanding?
Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without here?
Outside. Outside of you. Nothing coming into you can defile you.
Because you're already defiled.
Because you are already defiled because of the curse. All you can do is seek for self. And so by not speaking, and for some of you it's critical that you speak. Now the problem is that if you spoke what's there, you'd all be accused of having Tourette's syndrome. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just thinking that the desire to control that is because we don't want to see the defilement.
See ourselves. Therefore, we don't want to repent. We don't want to leave ourselves behind. Now, the problem is when you're after you've been at this for a while, you can see by the countenance. I mean, you know when somebody's stuffing it. It doesn't take any great discernment. And so, I mean, can you understand? Think of it in the most intimate relationships. You can't say that. If you're married, your whole basis of your marriage is a perfect example of this, because you can't say those things. If you say those things, then there won't be a marriage. Well, if you can't say those things and still be a marriage, you didn't have a marriage anyway. So all of the how-tos, all of the ways that you have been taught to think are an enemy of the cross of Christ. And they're endemic to human nature. That's why the temptations of Christ have no home in human nature. That's why, until you begin to say what's there, no matter what the cost, you're going to continue going the opposite way from sanctification. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Now, as you know, fornication doesn't just mean having some sexual relationship. It means going anywhere else other than the Father for anything. And if you are stuffing it to be nice, if you are stuffing it because you're concerned with somebody's response, if you're stuffing it because you don't think you have the right to say that, then you are in control. So you are going to yourself for the sustenance rather than to the Father. Now, this can only be lived out in a community. Because otherwise, you'll be banished from society.
That's what I was thinking a while ago. Last time that I went to prison, I thought, you know, there'd be times of these situations where things were getting real hectic and heated up. And so I thought, well, I'm just going to talk to this person, you know. But you can't do that. So that, what you're saying, works real good here in a community. But you try to do that out there, they'll think you're an idiot.
Oh, well, you finally have to do that because you bear his reproach outside the camp. But you have to start doing it in body. Does this touch anyone? If you don't think I'm right, please say so. Don't just sit there in judgment. Again, keeping you in control rather than showing to you another arena where repentance is necessary, where you bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. Now, it's interesting to read modern commentaries of this verse. They make it so that it's only talking about the foods that you eat. But they forget it says, out of the heart proceed adulteries, fornications, evil, blasphemies.
Thinking how even this book will defile you if you read it as looking for yourself. It's an ultimate defile. Self-improvement by the scriptures.
That's why. It's so hard to understand this. But the scriptural meaning of humility is, number one, to let out whatever is there. And number two, accept even that as from the hand of God for his purpose. And it seems counter to everything that you could conceive of. I wrote this earlier when we were talking about humility. To humble yourself, you must have this attitude. Accept with gratitude everything that comes into your life from without or within. All things, whether from without or within, whether they're from friend or enemy, you accept with gratitude and you speak it because you're speaking it for others' benefit. And we've said so often and we've seen so many times in the past where that thing which is the darkest to you causes light for someone else. Now, until this is understood, you will always dam up the gift of faith for your own protection. You will not release the faith of God because you are controlling your own. You are still seated in the temple, showing yourself to be God because you're in control. You have been bought with a price. There is nothing about you that is your own. That's why, above all things, my brethren, I would that you prophesy. I would that you bubble forth to say what's there, because it is the same analogy as wine fermenting. Wine becoming what it is intended to be, because as soon as the grape, if you conceive yourself as individual grapes, as soon as there's the slightest bit of control, then it just becomes a rotten grape. Instead of giving itself for the benefit of the wine.
Becomes part of the dregs.
It becomes the dregs. The lees are the dregs.
We were talking last night for a couple of minutes about the practical dynamic of community. Being part of a body, and really all that's necessary is to not separate yourself, to show up and to give what you have to give, and everything else is just automatic.
Then, and you trust God in everything. If I ever tried to protect what I say, I'd be lost. the marriages in this group are for the purpose of seeing, of letting others see what this mystery of the relationship is between Christ and His bride. If you don't have total vulnerability in the marriage, then that's affecting every one of us. Now, the marriages are supposed to be the revelator for the body so that this would be manifest. That's why, you know, it's the most difficult thing in the universe to get married in this body. To have it, I don't care if anybody gets married, that's their business, but to have a body wedding. And a lot of people despise me because of that. I'm trying to control your life. I don't give a damn about your life. I don't care who marries who. But as long as I'm alive, the marriages will have to be a picture of that mystery. To have the courage to say what's there. To say what happens, whenever it happens. Because otherwise you just become another rotten grape. And you will continue to have the point of view of how does this affect me? As Michael said, if I say something that, and I get in trouble, that means I shouldn't have said it. Well, that's crazy. Every time I open my mouth, I get in trouble. That's risky to say this because who knows what's going to come out. But who cares? You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Now that means that none of you is your own. If you deny Him, Christ said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father which is in heaven. Have the faith of God. You can't have the faith of God. You can't live by the faith of Christ until you stop protecting your thoughts. Does anybody disagree?
I'm thinking of movie actors, and they get a really big paycheck, so they must do something really valuable. But what they do is only say the lines, you know, from the script.
Do you have the faith to do this? Do you have the faith to say what's there? Do you understand that there are no ought to's in the Bible as we understand the word ought? Yeah,
it seems, you know, and when it's like that, the reason I don't go say something because it seems stupid. And I said, well, this is stupid. I ain't going to go say something. Well, you won't think I'm stupid. You know, or damn, Jim, why are you worried about something so little as that, you know? But after about a half a day, heat only. Now it's become an
elephant.
Yeah. So it ain't stupid. But I brought about one, most of one around here thing to be saying to them all the time.
No, you're not.
I get on the trip.
You're about the only one that's that way.
Carrie, why do you do that? You just put a big target on your head. I mean, this is your life.
Thank you, Carrie. I want to see you take the bait.
You know, after about a few hours in that position of like we were describing, this place where you have decided not to say something, then you begin to experience hell. The torments and the separation and just all those elements. It's like you're there and you're twisting, and it's like but instead of coming to the point of repentance, five times out of ten we'll try and hunker down some more.
Well, if you want to live by the faith of, if you want to experience the gift of faith, there's no option. You must say what's there. This is frightening.
If you can't get to the part that says without regard for the consequences, that's what is the stuffer. Because you always imagine consequences. They're never what you imagine, but your imagination.
Well, it's literally, the idea of not being a respecter of persons is endemic in this. I remember the first time I said that the human race was the Antichrist. I said it on the radio. Just before the program was canceled. But the point of it is that, it's a different, you've got to stop being in control. That's what it means to have this son of perdition. And the only way you know with a certainty that you're the son of perdition, that you're the evil one, that you are the instead of Christ, is when you let everything out, because I promise you, you will never stuff it, and then not by stuffing it, you remain in the righteous position because you're being something that you think is good. I remember, it just happened 1,000 times when I said this, and I did it, and then I got in trouble. Well, who cares? I did it, and then somebody yelled at me. It didn't work. It's not supposed to work. You're of a different order, a different class, a different place. That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination unto God, and there is nothing more esteemed than niceness. Bubble forth without concern for the consequences.
How does this relate to controlling your tongue?
Controlling a what?
Oh, he's talking about James. Bridling of the tongue. How do you bridle the tongue?
I was thinking along the same lines, wisdom, not to kill somebody, verbally. Surely there's times when it's almost best, to let them save the pace or something.
Remember the two witnesses are wisdom and prophecy.
Well, we've been talking up until Kevin's question. What we've been talking about is, yeah, the tongue, but it's the tongue bringing forth the things that cause death in me. The bridling of the tongue is talking about this thing wagging and doing the things that bring life to me. It's two different universes.
Well, remember, you got to hear this. You can bridle this tongue all you want to, but the 70 tongues up here continue to wag. And if you bridle the tongue after the understanding of what of the normal understanding, it means you're just putting a muzzle on the mad dog. The only way you can bridle the tongue is when you no longer give it any importance whatsoever, when you no longer owe it anything, and you no longer owe the voices up here anything. Then that's the bridle of the living God and not your bridle. It's the same as the idea of being, you know, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication. Abstain means to be fed up with. I am fed up with everything else other than the living God. I am fed up with my attempts to control my life. I am fed up with the images and ideas that my stupid mind has. I am fed up with everything that has to do with the flesh. Does that communicate? I think that you want to debate me.
No, that scripture was always used in my when I was being raised.
Oh, there's a jillion of those kind because
the proceed as blessings and curses, and you don't want to be cursing. So.
You can't believe the emails I get about the language I use in morning Bible study. Bridle your tongue.
And some of it has to do with prophesying body, but don't gossip behind people's back.
Don't bridle your tongue.
Don't gossip.
It doesn't matter. As long as you think that there is life in gossip, you can be told not to gossip the rest of your life. It's only when you see that your gossip is killing you, it's killing three people. It's killing the speaker, it's killing the hearer, and it's killing the one you're gossiping about. It's only when you see the futility of it that you stop it. But as long as it's a should or not to, then it's you trying to be in control. Does that communicate?
Yeah, that's good. You got to just go all the way with it.
Amen.
Gossip a little bit. Gossip as much as you can, whatever.
Publish your gossip.
Publish it.
So that you can.
The Trinity Tetler.
Write a book.
You let it all hang out. Let it be. What do you think? You're hiding something from God? Please, I beg of you, let this become meat to you, not just some philosophy. Because otherwise, you will never know the gift of faith.
That's very true, what you just said. You need to know that. But, you know, that's the only way that you actually, or that this thing is achieved. By experience, you know, I never would have quit doing drugs if I had not just finally just said screw it, do it all day, do it every day. That's what you want to do, and you know.
Isn't that what I've always told you?
Yeah, I mean, you have to experience. You know, it's got to be through experience. This whole deal is the only way.
It's either experience. We've been given two ways of coming to the end, either by experience or by empathy. Experience is the stupid one, because that means you can't learn from somebody else. Empathy is when you can understand by someone else's experience the futility of that course of action. That's why everything about preaching must bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. There must never be a how-to. If you ever hear anything I'm saying as this is what you should do, then you've heard wrong.
What about like complaints and stuff? Like a lot, sometimes, you know, I'll be thinking, but it just sounds kind of like, you know, just random bitching. It's not going to solve any problem or anything.
Well, until you know the stupidity of it, you're going to continue to randomly bitch. Your mind is going to continue doing it, and that's going to keep you from having the gift of faith. Because it's the separation between you and God and you and the brethren. So you have to come to the end of all these things. But it's dangerous. I've told you often that the walk of a disciple is walking on a knife edge between soul and spirit. So that you never sow to the flesh, and you always sow to the spirit. But if you sow to the flesh on that knife edge, you're gonna slip. But it has to be full. It has to be either hot or cold. If it's cold in the context of Revelation, that means you've gone totally away from it and you're gone back into only living by your senses. If you're hot, then you're only living by the Spirit. But He would that you be hot or cold. But because you're lukewarm and are walking in the safe place that's two steps back from the edge of faith, then He'll spew you out of His mouth. This isn't something you can think about. This is something you do. And what the great mystery of all this is that when you come to the end of you trying to control everything, you find His love. You find that you love the brethren. You find that you prefer their benefit and interest more than you prefer your own. Because that's the faith of God, is love. It's faith that worketh by love. If love wasn't the end result of this, then it would be stupid to talk about it. But now that Gary's gone, what gossip does is empower the flesh. And as long as you want the flesh empowered, because you can, oh boy, you can really get a, ooh, oh, that son of a bitch, ooh. You can get somebody in agreement with you. You can be in an alliance, and that empowers the flesh. Huh? And what I mean, I'm serious. If you live like that, you'll just eventually walk away in the night. Doesn't matter how many times I've heard, oh, Ollie, this is something I've known all my life, but I've never heard anybody speak it. Oh, it's so wonderful. I'll never leave. You know, if somebody says, I'll never leave, that they're gone the next day. Or not the next day, but pretty quick. And they'll not... Why do people... They leave. Well, why didn't you go talk to Oli? Well, if I talk to him, I'll melt. I've heard that over and over and over again. Because he's got some kind of mojo. Well, that's just goofy.
I remember talking to my... journalism teacher soon after I'd come up here and started going to this Bible study. And he was asking me about, how is this group behaving? I said, well, some pretty wild things. And so, I was pretty much of an asshole. Evident from the first.
All right, that's enough. Take a big guy.
And on that note,
on that note, on which there's total agreement.
Is it when I come?
Oh, that's my fault.
I got it.